Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Durth, I'm sorry I forgot to get you my text this morning. We'll be reading out of the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6 and verse 10 is where we're going to start this morning. Praise the Lord. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6 and verse 10, when you get it, stand with us if you would. Praise God. Someone asked how the fishing trip went, and I said it had its ups and its downs. Continuously. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glad to be with a great group of guys yesterday, though. Just an awesome time of fellowship. And, well, praise the Lord. You know, I've got, you learn to pick up and look for things. But Langdon, when you're a preacher, look for good analogies, great stories, things you can use in illustrations and sermons. I've never been more understanding of those disciples on that sea than I was yesterday. Hallelujah. I thought several times, well, today I was thinking it, oh, it would have been so nice to see Jesus walking on the water. Peace be still. Hallelujah. I should have prayed for that yesterday, Brother Helfenstein, but I forgot to in the midst of all the other fun. Hallelujah. It was a great time, though. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, and begin reading in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and all supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand. Just keep standing. Because we know it's going to get hard. And we know there's going to be days when we are under attack. But if ever there has been a time to stand, it's right now. Stand for everything we've stood for in the past. Stand for our families. Stand for our young youth group that's coming up right now. Stand for our church. Stand for the kingdom of God. If ever there has been a day to stand, it is right now. Amen. I like to just preach on keep standing. Amen. And when we get done praying, you can have a seat. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the word applies today just as much to our lives as it did 2,000 years ago when you inspired, Lord, the writer to write it. We thank you that your word today gives us instruction, Lord. It teaches us how to walk, how to stand, Lord, and even when we need to, how to run. We pray today that you would just hide us behind the cross. Give me the words to say and the thoughts to say, Lord, to encourage your people this morning. Lord, anoint these altars. I know you want to move amongst your family this morning, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. I want to preach on keep standing. Now, the reason I want to emphasize that you can be seated is there have been times in the past where I've myself have mentioned stuff like this, and folks just keep standing. It's encouraging, amen, and get through the whole first point, and the church is still behind you. But I know this morning it's not beneficial for you, so thank you for standing, for reading the word. Amen. Keep standing. Oh, to stand. To get on land. To have something of foundation beneath your feet. To know that you're not being tossed to and fro. The spiritual applications I was reaping yesterday were off the charts. To stand. Oh, Grandma, it is a wonderful day to stand. Hallelujah. I'm glad Grandma Helfenstein's here this morning. Good to have her this morning. Feeling better. To stand. Paul has written such an exceptional epistle here to the church of Ephesus. so many good things and good doctrine to reap from this chapter in the family and the home, things of good practical wisdom. And yet, finally, when he gets to the very end of his call to the church, what does he say? Stand. Just keep standing. Because Paul understood that there are times in our lives as believers when we will face difficulties in our homes, when we will face difficulties in our churches, when we will face difficulties in our nation. If ever we have faced difficulty in our land, it is in this hour right now. Paul understood that for every congregation, there will come moments when we will have opportunities to bow out, when we will have opportunities to quit, to lay down, to give up, to throw up the white flag, to wave our hands in surrender, and to walk away from the faith. How did Paul know that? Because he had already seen it in a young church. He had already experienced workers that went with him, Demas, having forsaken the lifestyle of a Christian because he loved this present world. He had already seen that there were some in the church that were turning away and going back to the old ways and going back into bondage. And he had already seen the effects that false doctrine was having in the church and the effects that those who just were refusing to keep fighting, the effects that it has on a congregation. Let me tell you something, church. You and I know that one of the hardest things for a group of people to get past is when one of your own, when one of your brothers and sisters in the Lord quit standing. It is discouraging. It's so hurtful when you look out, and especially now when we have the world of Facebook and you can see into the lives of individuals who you have seen in the house of God, who you have witnessed stand for the truth of God's word, who you know that they have preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and have ministered to hundreds. And yet because of the difficulty of the day and because of the hardness of the hour, they have stopped standing for what they believed in, for who they were in Christ. And it is an injury and a hurt that you can feel when you know folks aren't standing. It's hurtful. It's discouraging. It's disappointing. And Paul, already in this young church, is seeing the effects of those who are not standing. Now, here this morning, we have a church here that is, in most cases, considered a well, healthy church. A church of history. We've been here now, I believe, almost 80 plus years. Is that correct? I mean, we've celebrated our 75th anniversary a few years back. And amen. And all accounts, we're pressing on. But that's because there's been some folks that have decided to stand. You see, every generation reaps upon itself the benefits of those that stood behind it, of those that stood and paved the way, of those that stood and paid the bills, of those that stood and continued the ministry, of though every generation that comes on reaps the benefits of those that have stood from when the ministry started till the time they got there. And I have been blessed to be a part of a church that knows that when hard times come, it's not time to quit. It's time to stand. Amen. We have faced things in this church as a congregation that no one could have ever expected, and genuine storms that rocked the foundation. And yet I watched a group of people stand. Why? Was it our own strength? No, it's because we've got a God in heaven that knows how to give stability when we are in an unstable situation. A God in heaven who knows how to give strength when we feel weak in our legs. A God in heaven that knows how to lift his people up when we feel like we're heading down. It's time to stand because we've got a God that we can stand on. Hallelujah. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It is his anointing. It is his blessing. It is his ability that gives us the continuity to continue to stand. Amen. And then Paul gives us really a clear example of why we are needing to stand. And I'm going to be quick this morning. Three things I want us to understand about this passage of Scripture, and then we are going to come pray. First is this. We still have an adversary. We still have someone we're fighting against. I love how Paul says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know what that tells me? Some folks were fighting against others. That we're not wrestling. The problem isn't a deacon. The problem isn't so-and-so. The problem is we have an adversary, the devil, who like a roaring lion is seeking whom he can devour. And so when we understand that we are not fighting against those in our community or those in our congregation or those in the world, we're fighting against an adversary for our souls who just happens to sometimes use people. But the issue ought not to be the person. It ought to be the spiritual power behind it. You know what? We can take charge and we can boycott and do all these things against people in the world today. We can get up in arms over this company supporting this cause and we can get disappointed in this and that. But the real thing ought to be, are we in the house of God standing because we know that everything behind the curtain is the enemy pushing the buttons? He's still the enemy of our souls. He's still out to destroy families. He's still out to devastate homes. He's still out to discourage those who've been walking with God for all these years. He doesn't care how long we've been saved. He's still out to wreak havoc. He's still the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Brother Wilson, the apostle, wrote here, he said, he's going to throw fiery darts at you. He told us he's going to come at you and attack you. He's going to bring things against you. He's going to give times where it is hard and it's rough. But let us not forget that throughout Scripture, there have been folks who have continued to stand in the face of the fight. Amen. I think of the Hebrew children who stood and they were not consumed in the fiery furnace. Why, Brother Maggard, did that happen? Because the Bible says that there appeared a fourth man in the fire. Amen. And he looked into the Son of God. Hallelujah. Some in this congregation this morning have felt like you are about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. It doesn't feel like you can make it one more day. I'd like to remind you, there's still a fourth man right beside you. Hallelujah. And when we feel like we can't stand, we can know that he's standing already. Hallelujah. We can stand on the word of God. We can stand with Jesus. The enemy is going to attack. He's going to bring sickness. You know, I'm so thankful for what God has been doing amongst us in the congregation here. But I know that there are folks in this congregation who the enemy has been fighting with sickness. I cannot remember a time in our church when it has felt like a family, one right after another, has just been bombarded with this illness or a family member with this illness. You know what? I think it's time we just take authority again. It's time we plead the blood again. Hey, I thank God for our medical staff. I know my dad's worked at a hospital 24 years that we've been here. I'm thankful for those who understand the body. But listen, God understands much more than we could ever know. And it's time to take authority again. Why? Because we're in the midst of a fight. And this fight is not by another individual. It's because we got an adversary. But God has equipped us to know that we can stand for the word of God. And he said to pray for healing. He said to believe for healing. Amen. I think it's high time we stand this morning and for some people that can't stand for themselves. There's some folks that are physically so weak this morning that they cannot stand. Amen. But God's people can stand in for those who are weak. Amen. We need to take authority in the name of Christ in this battle of sickness so that we can stand for those who can't stand for themselves. Amen. We need to stand when the enemy fights in our youth group. And in our homes. Young people, we are fighting a continual battle. I so wish that we could maintain the experience that we get at youth camp. It would just be wonderful. But until we get to heaven, we can't. So here's what we got to do. We got to keep standing. And parents, let me tell you, I really felt this strongly in my heart this week when I was thinking about this sermon. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Applies to the home just as much as it does to the world. The contention and the battle ought not to be between mom and dad or between dad and mom and the kids. There is a spiritual attack upon our homes that we have never seen before. and a spirit that is rising up in our young people and in our parents where there is a divide and a disconnect. Amen. You can say one thing and it might be as harmless as, you know, I didn't even notice that you, and then it blows up and there's fighting and bickering and there continual bitterness. Listen, that is not the way God has intended his church to live. He has said that we are fighting against a spiritual darkness in this world, and at the home it ought to start where the battlefront begins, because as parents and as godly leadership, we ought to know that of course the enemy wants to come in, but it is not his place to come into my home. Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the battlefront starts at home. And when we sanctify the home, it will not be hard to sanctify the church. It will not be hard to sanctify the workplace, because when we have a home that is holy, we will stand for anything that God wants us to stand for. The contention and the fighting and all the things that come against the home are the works of the enemy. I'm amazed and how that the enemy knows how to work on our attitudes. Get us all worked up. Anybody ever imagined in your mind something happened and get mad about it and it didn't even happen? Hey, I'm just being honest with you. I do it all the time. It's horrible. I've been laying in my bed and I'll start thinking about something and dreaming up something. And before too long, I'm getting worked up. And I thought the whole thing up myself. The enemy knows how to get into our minds and work around with flesh and get us all worked up. But you know what? We don't have to accept that and just say, well, that's how it's going to be. We need to take a stand in our minds and say, you know what? This is God's house. This is God's temple. And I'm going to just let the Lord come by and purify me and sanctify me, because we know that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We've got an adversary. Secondly, we've got a great ally who already has beaten our adversary. Hallelujah. Hey, if we forget when we're standing and we think we're all alone and we feel like nobody understands and nobody cares, nobody knows what I'm going through, I'd like us to just stop for a minute and look around, because our adversary is really close. Hallelujah. The Bible said that we will find him if happily we reach after him, for he is not far from any one of us. God is our adversary, our advocate, our ally. He has defeated the adversary. Jesus Christ has already conquered the adversary. Upon the cross, he has defeated him, and we know that this ally is for us. What does the Bible say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Can sickness defeat Christ? No. Can anything come against Christ and have greater authority than God? Absolutely not. Then why would we not run to our ally and say, God, we're in need of you again today. Amen. I'm feeling weak. I beat down. Listen, being under attack is a real thing. And we can't minimize that. I'm not trying to say this morning that you're not going through anything. I'm just trying to get us to remember that while we're going through stuff, we've got somebody holding us up that's greater than what we're going through. Hallelujah. Amen. It makes so much sense to think that God in heaven, who was able to save us, is also able to keep us. Because if he can't keep us, what is the whole point of his salvation? But if he can keep us, for nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. We know that we can trust in God. Amen. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God is so much stronger than we are. And when we find our limit, and we all have a limit, and that's okay, he's already stronger there. And when we find that we aren't able to stand, Brother Mark, on our own, he's already standing. And when we find a place in our lives where we just feel like we can't go on, he's already there. So when we get to that place where we can't keep standing, it's time just to stand in him. Hey, you know what? It's all right to be honest with God, Brother Aaron, and say, God, I'm so tired right now. I'm so weak. I feel spiritually dry. I had a friend of mine email me this week, say, Brother Brian, would you just pray for me? I feel like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. I'm weak spiritually. I can't seem to make it through. And I'm like, hey, I've been there, brother. But you know what? God's in between us and the ceiling. So I know he's hearing you. I know that God's here. We might as well just stand in his strength, because we are limited in our ability. Our emotions do get frayed. Our minds do get weak. Our bodies do get tired. But he doesn't. Hallelujah. Let's just stand in God. Amen. Let's just hold on to his hand. Let's just keep going on wherever he's going. Because if we'll maintain our relationship with Jesus, we're going to make it to heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then thirdly, he's given us armor. He's given us a really nice advantage. Listen, I'm not an advocate for fighting. But if it comes down to protecting my family, I want to have something that the other guy don't have. That's not that deep, folks. It's just the truth. If somebody busts into my home with a baseball bat, I want to have something that I can get a little bit better than a baseball bat. And if the enemy's going to fight against my soul and know every single point of weakness in my life, I want to take every advantage and opportunity I can get to have some armor and protection for myself. Jesus said that he would be closer to us than a brother, so why would we not want him with us? Why would we not want to take hold of what he has given us to stand? Why would we not want to endeavor to be able to fight with every opportunity that we can, instead of bowing down and just saying, oh, well, the enemy's fighting me, I might as well live in this depression? No, it's time to stand. It's time to get back on our feet, get a second wind in our lungs, and go back to war. Hallelujah. You know, what is the hardest thing to feel like fighting when you are weak? It is the hardest thing to feel like praying when we're sick. It's the hardest thing to feel like going on when we're just continually bombarded. But if we will stand and do what God has told us to do, take on ourselves this armor. Sister Penny, get the sword sharpened again in our life. I'm so glad we've been reading the Bible through here. That has been the greatest encouragement to me. I hope you're keeping with it. I know you can get behind, but you can catch back up or just keep going. That's all right. But when we get that sword out, it is the number one defense against the enemy. Well, how do we know that? Because Jesus used it. When the enemy came to tempt Christ, what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. And every time, Brother Lightner, the enemy had to leave. Finally, if we'll just get the word in our hearts, put the armor on. Let's read about this armor again, and then we'll close. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, truth and righteousness. Got to start there every time. I'm thankful for the truth of this word and the righteousness that Christ is. And myself, I'm a filthy rag, but I know Christ has covered me with his blood, and his righteousness shields me. So we start right there. Already Christ, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We can't even go get into the armor without standing in him. Hallelujah. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. I don't have a gospel of war today. I don't have to put a gun to somebody's head and tell them to convert to Christ. This is a gospel of peace. It is the good news. It's the word of God. It's quick, man. It can get a hold of somebody so fast and we not even have any part of it. Because the Bible is written so that the word of God can penetrate the hardest of hearts. Amen. We're ready to do God's word. Go where he wants us to go. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When the enemy comes in and says, you're not going to make it, God's word and that faith right there, that shield of faith says, oh no, I'm going to make it because God's making it. And when that lie comes at you, and when the attack comes, Brother David, and the enemy's throwing those fiery darts, you take that shield of faith and you say, you know what, I'm going to hope against hope. I'm going to hope when I don't see a way. I'm going to have faith when I don't see how it's going to work out, because I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And that shield goes up and those darts just fall off. They can't penetrate the faith that God can give to the believer. Hallelujah. And take the helmet of salvation. Oh, isn't it good to be saved? I love that he's guarded our minds with his blood. Amen. That salvation experience, when I'm feeling weak, when I'm feeling down, I can take my mind right back to Southern Ohio Youth Camp, where those three cracks come together at the altar. And I can point to that place and say, listen, devil, that is where I got saved. And in my mind, I may be tired and weary, but in my heart, I know that that's the place where God saved me. Amen. It's good to know that God has given us a reminder of his word and the works that he's done for us. I'm glad to be saved this morning. Amen. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Oh, get the sword out. It's sharp. The Bible said it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Hallelujah. That word will penetrate. It'll cut through all sorts of hardness. That word can get a... My attitude might be so rough, and yet I get in this word, and I realize that attitude isn't of the Lord. And all of a sudden, Sister Crispin, that word just starts cutting out all that rotten stuff. And then, bam, we're sanctified again. And God starts using us again, and we stand again. Amen. The word knows how to minister, and it's a sharp sword. Amen. It's so beautifully delicate. Amen. It's like a scalpel in the surgeon's hand. It knows how to carve out all those places of infection. It knows how to get all those intricate details in there, Brother Steve. Oh, but that word will penetrate and fight against the enemy. When we feel like we're weak, we know God is strong. When we feel like we can't make it, we know God's already made it. We get that from the word. Amen. And we pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It takes perseverance to stand. Sometimes you may not even feel like you got something to hold on to. Yesterday I was looking for anything to hold on to. I was looking for Uncle Steve, Uncle Jim, Dad, a little hook in the corner. It was shaky. It's hard to stand. But you know what? You got to make up your mind sometimes. I'm just going to keep going. I wish some folks would have just said, I'm going to keep going. It's so much easier to stand than it is to find yourself coming back up to the rock after a long time out. It's so much easier just to keep going than it is to give up and then have to try to find your way back to where you were with God. It's so much easier just to keep standing in the midst of the fight than it is to give up. Did you notice there's no armor on the back? Did you notice there is no defense in lieu of running away from this thing? It is a front-on battle. But if we will keep standing, we will be victorious. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand, young people and church. You can't stand. I knew that was going to happen at some point in this sermon. Hallelujah. I need somebody to come to the music if you can. Let's stand, young people, when we feel like we're weak. Parents, let's stand for our families when we see the enemies fighting. Husbands, let's stand for our wives. Wives, let's stand for our husbands and children. Church, let's stand for our pastor. Let's pray for him. Oh, you think we're under attack? He carries the load of all of us. Let's stand for our pastor. Amen. Stand for Sister Sarah and I. We feel a heavy burden for our young people. Stand for us. I'm not going to act like I'm the strongest guy on the street. I know that we need the help of the Lord. Church, as a church, let's stand for each other. Let's keep going for each other. I'd hate to be the one to disappoint somebody else and make them fall out because I stopped going. Let's stand for each other. Oh, and foremost, let's stand for God, because he's done so much for us. He's brought us such a mighty long way. There's some folks been saved here over 50 years. He's brought you so far. But man, there's some folks here been saved 5 months. And God's already done a work that you never could have thought he'd done. But he's already done it. And so why don't we just keep standing? Because even 5 months with God is too far away from the enemy to ever go back. Let's stand. Can we keep standing? Hallelujah. If you're tired this morning, I'm talking about spiritually. I know we got a lot of tired folks this morning, physically. If you're tired spiritually this morning, you know what's the greatest thing you can do? Find yourself a place at this altar and just talk to the Lord. I don't know how many times, Dad, I've had to pray. God, I don't feel like standing. I feel weak. I feel spiritually beat down. But when you're honest with God, he already knows. He's just waiting for you to ask. And then he comes by, Sister Heath, and he lifts us up like a heavenly father, cradles us in his arms and gives us strength we didn't know that he had. And all of a sudden, he infuses us with strength. Let's just stand. Hallelujah. Let's come find a place to pray this morning. Let's get strength back. Oh, I feel like a second wind is coming back in a fight. Amen. I feel like a second wind is about to enter into some folks. Some fresh strength you didn't know that you needed or didn't know that could be brought. But God knows how to lift you up above the shadows. Plant your feet on higher ground. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand. Oh, let's stand. Hallelujah. Keep up the good fight. Keep up the good fight of faith. Oh, keep up the good fight of faith for your children, for your home, for your lost spouse. Keep up the fight of faith for your friends and your neighbors. Hallelujah.
He tries to turn me fall. I'm going to keep walking this walk this way till I reach home. I am going to serve the Lord no matter what comes my way. My friends say, and though Satan comes against me, he tries to make